dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning dream packs. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISO.
Hello and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 138 for March 7th, 2006. I'm Strom Carlson.
I'm Black Ratchet. And with us this evening is Deshi.
Hey.
Hello, Deshi.
What is up?
Verbose introduction. Excited to be here.
Hey. Me. Hey. Verbose hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello.
So, yes. Welcome.
Strom, how does it feel to be a celebrity?
It's kind of weird. I took a nap just now, and I've gotten about as much mileage of... I'm still tired. I've gotten about as much mileage out of the phrase...
Apparently.
Well, I hacked Kinko's as an interjection as I'm likely to get, so... yeah, I can't interject I hacked Kinko's anymore. But apart from that, it's... Yeah. It's pretty weird so far. I'm not sure what's going to happen. What was that? I'm not sure what's going to happen when DEF CON or Layer 1 rolls around.
Yeah. So
we got someone going on.
We don't really have any housekeeping this evening.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. We have a Deshi going on to a server room. So Deshi. Deshi, for those of you who don't know, the topic tonight is we're going to talk about pirate radio, because Deshi about... No, not that kind of pirate radio.
We have
to
discuss
actually doing
the... Arr,
little pirate
radio.
That makes you go, arr.
I figured we'd kill that joke
Yeah, I think so, too, because if we don't, I'm gonna like take out my pirate hat and put on my eye patch. And,
you guys can hear me now, right?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Oh, yeah, you're fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me now? Good.
Well, I thought maybe before you guys were going to hear me.
Well, we just kept hearing lots of background noise, like you were going on speakerphone or walking into a turbine or something. I don't know.
That's kind of odd.
So, well, anyway... Deshi, about two weeks ago, I'd say about 2 weeks ago, he messaged me on IRC, which actually we should mention that too. Are you hacking stories? You guys rock. I'm putting you on my radio station. And I was like, oh, cool, on an actual radio station. And he says, oh yeah, I run a pirate radio station out in I don't even know where you are. Wisconsin, is it?
Wisconsin.
So yeah, he's broadcasting
Woo!
Us to the cows. Basically,
hey,
the end of cows and cheese.
Right. These cows can reprogram anything now.
Sweet. So
they're like
next time,
cows.
Next time I have my fine Wisconsin cheese, I'll know that cheese came from a cow that hacked Kinko's.
That's right.
Alrighty. Yeah, so I was intrigued by this, because... I actually had no clue that we were on any radio station, let alone a pirate radio station. And just to get this out of the way, we do not condone illegal activities. We condone legal activities. We don't condone illegal activities as, DDP, BinRev Radio, blah, 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 blah. For example, we are on a pirate radio station, we really, don't have to, we don't support it and such, and blah, 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 blah.
Whoa. Will you please stop doing that?
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, please don't do
yes.
that.
This is, and this is the This is what we goof for doing live. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so yeah, apparently we're on a pirate radio station now. After talking to Deshi for a while, he's a cool guy, and I actually said, you know, hey, you want to come on the show and talk about pirate radio? So he jumped into that, and that's our topic this evening.
So I think it's time we answer some email.
Because we got a lot of email this week. It's kind of amazing.
We had
about, like, you know, 8 messages. Actually, I think I want to go on a rant here, and I want to call somebody out because someone is emailing the radio station. I'm trying to find his name here. He's sending us forwards. We'll just call him Corey. Corey, we know who you are. He has sent us 2 forwards of, like, you know, forward this to 15 bazillion people that you know. Now, for example, we always like getting email here at Bin Rev Radio.
Should we give the address out?
No, we should not.
Yes,
no,
yes,
we don't,
I think
we don't
so.
Want to do that. No, we're not. We're not going to do that. Yeah. And, you know, Corey, we, you know, thank you for the email, but at the same point, thanks, but no thanks. I'm not interested in getting that. I've trained all of my people that know my email address not to send me such things, to actually be excluded from these forwards to 15 bazillion people, and forward, and you'll get good luck for 20 years. And I'm not interested in getting the radio@binrev.com address. And actually, we're actually starting to get spam on BinRev.
Yeah,
which is really disturbing.
Oh, God.
We've gotten, like, you know, 2 or 3 hot stock tips, too, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Well, buy this
penny
stock,
for a
and
while.
Your ass will be raped harder than someone else.
Well, the penny stock. How much stuff can if you buy 100 shares of it, you'll lose a dollar. I mean, there's no place to go but up. It's pump and dump. But if you can get on the pump, you're all set. You know.
I guess so.
You just dump when they dump, and you make a profit. So speaking of email, well, and we're not trying to call you out, Corey, and we're not trying to make fun of you. But
yes,
still,
we are.
You know, just. No, don't send that, please. Thank you. And that goes for everyone else. I'm not interested in getting bad luck for 10 years or finding out who my true friends are by forwarding these things. At least people aren't, like, sending us MySpace invitations.
That's true.
I guess I got to thank God for golf. Thank God for small favors.
Wow.
Okay, so we went to the email?
Yeah, I was bridging in the email theme, and my other phone rebooted. So
that's not
good. I'll just
did you
do
break it?
No, I'll just do it from this phone.
Huh. Live radio, folks.
Our first dead hookers email is from Ripper Fox, and he says, "Dear hosts, I finally managed to listen live to your great show tonight. It was 3:30 a.m. here in Germany, and I thought about BinRev. Weird, eh? So about the dig/yig thing. H07.org, see headline dig.de, is now yig.de, and yig.de about PHP. I'm sorry for what I'm about to do, but I'm going to butcher the pronunciation. Versteckt hinter Dig und Yig? Ultra short transcript, idea/concept.
I think you got it right, personally.
Really? Okay. I was just kind of guessing at it, but at least it wasn't Russian. Ultra short transcript, idea/concept was by Kevin Rose. Sigh. Personally, I dislike Kevin a bit, but it seems the yig.de/h07.org crew doesn't mind too much about him. About tapping VoIP, someone mentioned in a mail. It's so fucking easy. Vomit.xtdnet.nl, originally done for Cisco's protocol. And OXID, that's oxid.it/kane.html, sadly for Windows, but very powerful. About TiVo Alternative, TiVo is not available here in Germany. I'm using an old modified DBox 2 satellite receiver under Linux. There's a spin-off company which produces a Linux-based PowerPC satellite box. Dream Multimedia TV, that's dream-multimedia-tv.de. Greets, Ripper Fox. P.S.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, didn't see the P.S. P.S., any possibility to get the call-in number from outside the U.S. written in the forum or website? I really was too slow in the hunt for paper, ellipsis. So,
Yay.
Well, first off, I mean, yeah. Amazing. Someone listened from Europe.
Live? Wow.
Wow. Yeah, you're a sick, sad person there, Robert Fox. But you're kind
we
of
applaud
our
you.
Sick, sad
yeah.
person.
We applaud your sick sadness.
Personally, myself, I've played with both Vomit and Kane, and apologies to everyone. I didn't tiny URL any of them for the ended email, so oops, oh well. Kane was mentioned before on the show. I forget when. I want to say when Iron Geek called in and talked about it, but I'm not 100% sure. But Kane's been talked on the show. I believe it actually we had a entire show. I completely forgot about this till today. There was an entire show about monitoring asterisk and VoIP conversations, and they talked about Kane and Abel, and they talked about Vomit. It was Stankdog and Natus. It was like episode 100, episode 99. I'm not 100% sure. But search the archives. It's like page 4. Vomit only works with Cisco phones using ULAW, MULAW, Companding, and the Skinny or SCCP protocol. What's that, the Skinny Cisco
the skinny,
Control Protocol?
The Skinny Call Control Protocol, I think.
Call Control Protocol, yeah, one of those things. SCCP. With any other phones or protocols, you're hosed. Kane, on the other hand, it does a good job picking up other protocols like SIP. However, the last time I checked, it still could not record EECS conversations. Like, it saw that, oh, there's a VoIP conversation here, and it thinks it's either couldn't record it or thought it was recording it and it really wasn't. But it didn't work. That's what I remember. Of course, this was, like, I think about 6 months ago. So they may have released a new version. I'm pretty sure they released a new version, but I'm not sure if they fixed that problem. And, of course, now that EECS has encryption, all this stuff should be rendered useless unless they know the keys already. And there's also, for SIP, there's SRTP, Secure Real-Time Protocol or something.
Yeah.
As for,
if you're using encryption on all your VoIP stuff, then it's kind of useless unless you know your encryption keys as well, so. Encryption is the way to go.
I just said that.
Did you? Oh, yeah.
Encryption is always the way to go.
Yes. Yes.
That's what it is. Encryption is good.
Did I mention I just woke up from an app?
Yes, you just did. Many times. What's our next email?
Our next email is from Candela. And he writes, on you episode 136, you guys said that Kevin Rose is responsible for the close of dig.de. You also mentioned that he turned his back on the community. I also hear from Kevin himself he was not responsible for the close of dig.de. God, the guy from Germany had better spelling than this guy. I'm confused.
This guy's from France.
Oh, okay. Is there something I'm missing? I'm sorry, guys, if I'm missing something. Have you guys considered on having Kevin as a guest on one of your episodes? Thanks for your show. I really enjoy it. Candela.
Yes, if you look at the email, he's from France. You can't really cite him for bad language on that. Can't cite anybody on bad language. Just leave him alone. Just read the email.
Dang it, read the email. Not English. Anyway.
No. I think I said this last week, but I'm not 100% sure. I think I was wrong when I stated that Kevin Rose was responsible. I believe I admitted to it last week, but I don't know. I'm pretty sure Mr. Rose had nothing to do with it directly, but I think dig.de saw the writing on the wall. I mean, if you go back a couple episodes, it was like the previous week before they changed their name. Dig was trademarked in the European Union. And, you know, if you're trademarking something like that, you know, you're going to start going after people. It's just one of those things. So I think it was mostly something called the chilling effect, which basically, you know, you see something go down, you go, oh, crap, and you soil yourself. But, he says that he wasn't involved directly, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But at the same point, I think there was just, you know, he might have been indirectly involved. What can we say? Eh. As for getting Kevin on the show, as you all know, I'm not a fan of Kevin or his methods. I'm afraid it would just turn into an all-out frame war. We've had reason to suspect that Mr. Rose listens, and you can... This was more brought up in the old Stank Dog episodes when he was on Tech TV. Sorry, Kevin Rose was on Tech TV. Stank Dog was never on Tech TV, sadly. He either listened or at one time listens to the show. If he still does and he wants to come on, you can feel free to contact me. BlackRatchet@BlackRatchet.org or RadioPinRev.com. But like I said, I'm not a fan and whatever. Desha, do you like Kevin Rose?
No, I don't.
No, you don't. Why don't you like Kevin Rose?
I think he's full of himself. I think he came up with some all right idea and then kind of got an ego about it. Thinks he's all that because he's.
I'll give him credit for the dig.com thing. That was an okay idea. It's sort of like, you know, you have a bunch of people who are RSS link aggregators, and it's a lot like Corrosion, except it's just. I don't know. It's a lot like Corrosion, except it's more link based rather than story based, like
right.
Corrosion was said. And for those of you who don't know, it's Corrosion is KURO5HIN.org.
This is the sound of my head exploding.
No,
yeah. But Dig's pretty cool. I mean, my FedEx thing got digged 3 times in the space of 6 days. So. It's pretty cool.
You just like them because they're kissing your butt.
Well, no. It's interesting because, you know, it's good from a standpoint of let the readers decide what's important. So you're not. It's more interesting that way. But the only problem is that the people who comment on it seem to be just kind of absolute tools. And also, when you have a story and it says, you know, oh, this story has been blogged by this person and this person and this person, you go to those blogs. They're not actually blogs. They're just collections of links on Dig.
It's well, like blogs are.
Well, no, but there's not even anything that's written by the blogger. It's just whatever shows up on Dig just gets stuck into the blog. There's no actual writing involved. It's amazing.
Well, and also it's part of the echo chamber, and you know it's. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess you could say.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, but
I mean, Dig.
My only question is, who would read a blog with no original content at all?
I guess I could say Dig.com users, because that's what old Dig.com is. It's a weblog. It has different links, and people comment on it. That's what it is.
Yeah,
and basically, you know, Kevin Rose just has his like little, you know, coding monkeys there saying, you know, code me up a script to make the links go up, and then make me tons of ad revenue.
I could just imagine him in leather chaps with a whip. Yeah.
Now, I personally was picturing him in one of those like, you know, Egyptian pharaoh things where the guys hold him. On top of he has the throne, and the guys hold
him
on his shoulders.
Oh, yeah, he's on the sedan chair, and then he cracks the whip, and he has like 40 slaves pulling the giant brick of code or something.
Yeah, I bet like Kevin, like, you know, just brought up an email to write us, said, oh, I'd love to come on your show, and we're just making fun of him right now. He's like, oh, screw these guys.
Well, hey, I'd love to have him on the show if he's wearing leather chaps.
Yeah, I bet you would.
All right. Our next email, so we don't spend too much time on these damn emails. What's up? Brief introduction. I'm Arthur. I started listening to your show last semester, but I started with show number 1, and I think I got up to like 20-something. I listen to you guys on Off the Hook. Off the Hook is mostly politics, which is cool, but if I listen to Hacker Radio, I want to hear hacker news, not terrorist shit. Anyway, I set up a server a little while back, and I want to host your radio files on my server. I was wondering what the best way to go about doing so was. Could you maybe send me a tar archive of all the MP3s? Here's my site. And that's cptpotato.dnsalias.org. I'll be putting you guys under the files, dir. Let me know if I can help, or let me know if you can help. Arthur, Captain Potato.
I'm lacking on this whole tiny URL thing this week. tinyurl.com/r6 Romeo 6 Yankee 8 uniform. So, yeah. Arthur, I'm personally going to agree on Off the Hook. The only reason I listen to Off the Hook is essentially Bernie S. That's about it. Personally, what I think, I'm not sure about you guys. I think they should give like Bernie S. his own little spin-off show, where it's like the Bernie S. show. And
yeah,
personally, I just abandon Off the Hook in a heartbeat. That'd be just like, bam, I'd be out of there. You know, Emmanuel would have like, you know, two listeners left, and all the other WBIA nuts. As for your archiving request, as of yet, we really don't have like a DVD or a tar file or a zip file of just all the shows that we could send you. However, if you look at the URL for one of the shows, you can directory traverse the whole show. I think Stank set it up to be so that it's easy to mirror. So basically just feed that directory into wget, and you should be able to mirror everything on the site quite easily.
I think that's what you're trying to avoid doing, yeah.
Well, you know, if he has bandwidth, use it.
Mm-hmm.
He's had
a DVD of all of them, so I'm lucky.
Well, there you go. Well, what's your email there, Deshi? You can go send it to a good old
wickedradio@gmail.com.
So wickedradio@gmail.com. You know, if any of you want a BinRev Radio DVD or some sort, sure, Deshi will accommodate you for a small nominal fee.
The shipping cost. That's about it.
Yeah. Well. But either way, I mean, if someone else.
Hey, believe me, I'll use FedEx because I really hate UPS and DHL won't come off of my house.
Oh, DHL's even worse.
Oh, DHL's horrid.
I hate those bastards.
DHL's concept of package tracking is Monday. It left New York the following Monday. Oh, it's in Los Angeles now.
Well, hell, that's like the Postal Service. Their tracking is horrible.
Yeah, well, no, the Postal Service is like it arrives, and then 3 days later they tell you, oh, by the way, it's arriving in Los Angeles. That's the Postal Service.
No. Actually, my just we could be completely off tangent here. The DHL story that I like the most is a friend's business. His business started saying, you know, DHL said, oh, you know, we'll give you this sweet shipping deal. And the guy owner was like, that's a pretty good deal. I'll go with you guys. I'll trust you out. And so they ship. They have this customer like way up in northern Maine, like, you know, east bumfuck. And you know, the guy like ordered like a every week he placed an order, and then he called him up like 3 weeks later and said, I haven't got any of my orders from you. And they'll say, oh my god, well hold on, let's go call up DHL. And DHL basically told him, oh yeah, northern Maine, yeah, we just throw stuff into a truck and whenever it gets full we deliver it. We don't like to go up there every day. I'm like, oh my god. So needless to say, DHL had a short life after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, if anyone else wants to mirror the show and you have, you know, gobs of bandwidth and you don't mind downloading all of them, you can, you know, load it into the show. I mean, you might want to contact either myself, Stankdog, post it in the forum, send us PM, IM, smoke signal, carrier pigeon, just to, like, let us know that you're going to be downloading, you know, I don't even know, let's see, 138 shows, 15 megs a pop. That's going to be like, you know, somewhere in the range of like 2.5 gigs. So just let us know for it. That's all we ask.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to. Otherwise, you know, just, I guess, email Deshi or something and he'll send you a DVD. So who's our next email from? Eggman?
Our next email is Eggman, yeah. And he writes, having recently found that I love Having recently found that I love cryptography, I spent hours reading forums and Wikipedia, and I got to wondering if BinRev has ever done a show on cryptography. If so, what number show should I listen to? If not, make one and pour everything you know about cryptography into it. Items of particular interest are comparisons of different encryption algorithms and security flaws that could undermine the encryption process. Many thanks, Eggman.
Well, as for your, I always like this statement. Make a cryptography show and pour everything you wanted, all your knowledge into it. And I think that show for me would be somewhere in the range of 5 to 10 minutes. But
yeah,
thankfully,
I think for me it might be 30 seconds.
Well, I read this good book. We'll get into that later. I gotta say, Stank. There are shows out there. We do have two of them. Stank had Alonka on, who likes cryptography,
and she also likes Wikipedia.
She also likes Wikipedia. Yes. Those two episodes are 78 and 99. Episode 78 covered the basics of cryptography, and episode 99 covered the deciphering of a code. It's a code on a statue at CIA headquarters. It's called, I believe it's at CIA headquarters, that or KGB, I'm not sure. It's a statue called Kryptos, Kryptos. And it's for those of you who don't, just get a basic of it, the statue had, it's a metal sheet and has a light behind it, and cut out of the sheets are, Russian letters, so it's like a Russian message, and it's an actual undecoded message up until the fact that this group got together and decoded what actually it said. So, she does know her stuff. If you do like cryptography, and I'm completely drawing a blank on the book name, it's by Stephen Levy. I believe it's like, Crypto or... I think it's called Crypto, actually. It's a really good book, and it's not as much as a how-to on cryptography, but it's a history of cryptography. I mean, they talk about, Diffie Hellman, origins of PGP, Phil Zimmerman, all that kind of stuff. It's a fun book to read. If nothing else, just gives you an appreciation of history. And for me, who's moderately interested in cryptography, I think it's cool and everything, but I'm not obsessed like you are. I read it in about a week of, just commuting time reading. So it's a good book. I know it's by Stephen Levy. I'm not 100% sure of the title.
I think.
What's your next email?
Our next email is from Maku. I was wondering where I can get the full version of the first song that plays on this video, Hack TV Episode 1. Also, would you know where I could get a hold of a maker of this? By the way, nice website. Smiley face. Maku.
We actually haven't got one of these emails ever, I think. Normally, if you go to the front of the webpage of the radio.binrev.com, it's basically one of the first lines says, before you email the show, if you're curious about the opening theme, it's this, and it gives you the link. But from the sounds of it, Maku did not go to that. He somehow got to, I'm not sure how he found the email address, to be honest with you. It sounds the Hack TV episode 1 that we put in the email is actually the URL for our Hack TV episode on Google Video Service, which I had no clue was actually there. The person who sung the song is Zurl, and he's actually been on Binrev Radio before. It's www.zurl.com, Z-E-A-R-L-E. It's free for downloaded. I believe it's under Creative Commons, if I'm not mistaken. If you go to radio.binrev.com, we have a link for it right on the website. Either way, the video is one of our DDP, conglomerate subdivisions at work. We're, multinational conglomerate. We have different wings working on different things. We have R&D and, hack radio and hack TV and, not really. Dr. Zygman is the person actually currently in charge with hack TV. I believe the person who made hack TV episode 1 was... Saito 187, I think. I'm not sure. It's been a while since I actually watched it. But anyway, Dr. Zygman is currently in charge of it, and he's currently hard at work in his, Dr. Zygman South Florida lair, whatever it is, on another show. Waiting. He's going to release it so we can all share and enjoy.
Share and enjoy. Journey through life with class. Okay.
Yeah, don't do that, please. But yes, it's Dr. Zygman is personally current in charge of it. I think it's like hacktv.binrev.com or something like that, or TV. It's right on the front page. You can go find it. You can find out who's charge of it. And just, stop by the forums. We have an entire forum for Hack TV.
Shall I read the next email?
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, okay. Hey, my name is Matt, and I've been into the scene for a while now, but the show, I love it! You guys show an interesting spin on daily life and point out some cool shit along the way. I really hope you all decide to keep the show up. I love to listen to it. It truly is a binary revolution, and I'm so happy for you guys, and for everyone who tunes into this wonderful program. Keep it up, and please don't disappear. Maybe just for kicks, though, a prank call or two once in a while.
Oh, we wanted to have an ego-stroking email on here, so thanks for the compliments, Matt.
Hey, it's just like summer again.
Yeah, there we go.
Pretty much all our emails were, you suck, or you're awesome.
No, we got actually a lot of people who just said you're awesome. We had a couple people who said we sucked. I personally think we'll stay away from the prank calls. If we keep with tradition, the 150 should be a telephonic craptacular. But I know Stank said there wasn't going to be any more, but you never know. We might do it.
Well, the day telephonic craptacular perhaps, but the day we have prank calls on BinRev is the day I shoot myself in the head.
Well, it's not prank calls. It's just, you know. What did Stank and I try to do? I think we tried to call Sony to get a replacement for our Betamax VCR controller.
No, that's funny.
Yes. And our last email this evening.
Yes, our last email
is from FreakMac.
It's in a different window. Let me pull that up.
Okay. Dear Strom and Ratchet, just wondering what you guys think about the possible AT&T acquisition of Bell South.
You guys
rock, late FreakMac.
Yes, in case you've been living under a rock, on Sunday, AT&T announced it's going to purchase Bell South for $67 billion.
Ka-ching.
Ka-ching. So, for those of you who thought Bell wasn't quite back yet, well, it's forming itself back together.
Maybe we should have, like, Merger Mania Part 2.
Yeah, we're going to have another Merger Mania episode.
Yeah.
But,
I don't know. We never really. I mean, we always thought that Bell South might get acquired, but we never actually really saw it coming this soon.
No, I saw it coming because, I mean, FBC and Bell South did joint ventures for so long. They did Singular. Mm-hmm. They had the YellowPages.com joint venture, and it seemed that they were kind of doing the courtship dance for a time. And so I figured it wasn't inevitable, or it was fairly inevitable that either. SBC would buy Bell South, or more improbably that Verizon would buy Bell South, or slightly between the two that Bell South would buy Quest, because after the AT&T SBC mergers and the Verizon MCI mergers, pretty much Bell South is the only major local exchange carrier without its own inter-exchange network. So it makes sense that Bell South would want to get purchased by AT&T or Verizon.
I don't know. Anyway, so yes, just not to get on the whole phone thing here, which I had to toss this out here. But yeah, Bell South, you know, whatever. I don't know. Who knows? The other question is whether or not Verizon's going to buy Quest. And I don't know.
They may. They may very well do so as kind of a, oh my God, we're going to lose out if we don't buy something else. So they may snap off Quest just to keep pace with AT&T.
Yeah, that's what I foresee. Destiny, what were you? Did you say something?
Oh, I said I hope they don't. I don't know. I just think it'd be dumb.
Well, you could have Verizon, Q-W-E-R-I-Z-O-N.
Well, if I'm a Verizon customer, and I don't want it to change how it is.
But
I'm happy with my service.
Well, okay, but Verizon purchasing Quest isn't going to change your existing service you're already a Verizon customer.
I just think it's kind of dumb, you know.
Corporate mania is dumb, period.
Anything to gain by buying out Quest.
Well, I mean, theoretically, they could trim a lot of the fat from Quest. I mean, Verizon seems to be financially in far better shape than Quest is. So there's definitely the possibility to trim the fat.
Oh,
and
my checking account is in better shape than Quest.
That's very true. There is the opportunity there, at least, to trim all the fat and take care of all the stupidity and have another huge stream of revenue coming in for Quest. So,
All right. Well, that wraps up our lots of email back. And actually, people are emailing, just to get this out here, people are emailing the show at, like, I think we got, like, two emails today at, one was at, like, 6 p.m., and the other one was at, like, 8 p.m. Actually, the 8 p.m. one was a spam, so I can't really excite that person. But if you want to get on the show, I mean, despite the fact that we do it live on Tuesdays, the show notes are usually done by Tuesday afternoon. I usually, you know, sit down on my lunch break, read the emails, type up the responses, you know, take my notes and flame it all out and usually get it out there to everyone before the show. So if you want to actually get on something on the show, you might want to email the show probably at the latest
Monday.
Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Or Monday. Monday would be best. I mean, technically we're not guaranteed we're going to be live all the time. So, you know, Monday afternoon, I mean, if you're gambling on the fact that we're going to be live, email us Tuesday morning.
Speaking of, do we have anybody taking calls today, or?
Actually, I don't think we have anyone taking calls.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
Well, live send calls.
If you want to try to call in, and maybe Strom can answer you, and get 888-9-BIN-REV. I never actually announced a number. And
yeah.
our British number, I'm assuming, is still not working. I need to actually email that guy. Well, maybe you get a German number. Maybe the German guy is up again.
Yeah.
Hello, German person. You know, if you're actually on the air and listening to us, get some rest. You know, sleep, it does a body good. All right. Show and tell. Strom, we know what the hell you've been doing. You've been, you know, making videos and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
I went down to San Diego and made a video of hacking Kinko's. And now that's all bloody all over the place. It had, as of, I think, yesterday or something, 60,000 people had looked at it. Or it had been downloaded 60,000 times, so I'm sure it's circulating around more than that, so let's call it 100,000.
I actually put that article in my zine for Wicked Radio.
Cool.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. This is all so happening so quickly, I'm still not quite sure what the hell's going on.
Are men flinging their underwear at you? I was going to say women flinging their panties, but that really wouldn't be applicable to you.
Hmm. Well, no, I mean, women will flick their panties, and men... I'm not going to object if underwear gets thrown at me, regardless of what sex it comes from. But no one's flinging underwear at me quite yet, although I'm going to wait until the cons to see what happens there.
Hmm. Have you been doing anything else besides basking your newfound Kinko's hacking glory?
Well, I've been kind of trying to follow it and see how it's developing because, you know, it's kind of a unique opportunity when you're generating a story to see how it develops and see who picks it up and where it shows up. But other than that, not really. I went to Vegas. I just came back this afternoon, which is why I'm kind of out of it. And that's pretty much what's been occupying all my attention.
Hmm.
For the last week.
So the reason why you're in Vegas, I mean, is that the reason why the archives haven't been updated?
Why, yes, that is. Thank you again.
Oh.
I told you to piss off before the start of the show.
Well, you can tell me how to piss off in front of everybody, and I can tell everyone to annoy you.
Yes. Sorry, terribly sorry about the archives not being updated. I have been incredibly busy.
Seriously, we need to, like, automate, like, a cron job or something. Just
yeah,
to, like,
I do. I mean, it's just a matter of really, we really need to just produce the show in a format that can be uploaded immediately as is without having to go back and remix and put in higher quality music and everything. So if any of you, I'll just put this out there now, if any of you have any experience with some sort of software that can let Ratchet and myself talk into microphones, what's so funny?
You talk to me after the show.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
Okay. Well, I'll put this out there on the off chance that you don't work out.
Really? Yeah, do that.
If any of you have experience with software that would let us stream live, talk into microphones, and not have significant lag between each other when we're talking because we are on opposite coasts of the continent, send me an email, stromcarlson@gmail.com, or mail the show, radiobinrev.com.
Or mail me.
Yeah.
Or mail Stank. But Stank really wouldn't help you.
Yeah. Or you could mail Google, but they really won't do much for you.
They might post it.
Yeah.
They might make Google Radio. Steel Zero's web song. Oh, yeah, it'd be crazy. Anyway. Deshi, have you been having any fun hacking stories you'd like to share with us?
I don't know if you'd really go. I guess you could call it hacking. I've been messing with this new software for my radio station that can control my hardware, but it's like a butchered version of Delphi for their scripting language. So I've been like really messing the last couple of weeks with that, so that's why a lot of stuff hasn't been getting done lately with the new station schedule. So I apologize to people for that, but basically just trying to learn this Delphi. And actually, we've been messing with all the print servers at where I go to school. There's about 3,000 print servers, and it's kind of fun because they all have the default settings for everything. So I guess you really couldn't call it a hack. It's just stupidity, but that's what I've been up to.
Hmm.
Kind of short.
So, what are we talking about stupidity here? Are we talking about your stupidity or their or the...
No, their stupidity, you know.
Oh, okay.
Their stupidity and my boredom.
Oh, well, I mean, that's...
My professor challenging me.
What, your professor challenged you to, you know, he came up and said, dude, hack the print server.
Okay, I'll put it this way. I've been doing, like, PC... I'm just going to the college for PC repair. And I've been doing this, like, already for the last 10 years solid. And I got 20 years experience with messing with PCs. So I get in there, this guy's fresh out of school. He's got his master's degree in, like, teaching. Nothing computer-related. He had to set up troubleshooting and diagnostics for us last week. And they break your computer, and you got to fix it with, like, no resources other than your head. And I kept getting it all and getting it all. Finally, he's like, well, I guess there's nothing you can't do. He's like, why don't you see if you can make this print without having access to it? And so he removed it as being a shared printer on the network, and I was still able to make it print. He thought that was pretty neat. Gave me extra credit for it, actually.
Well, hot damn. What school is this? Plug this sucker.
Blackhawk Technical College in southern Wisconsin. It's actually a really neat school.
Well, sounds like the staff at least have the right attitude.
Oh, yeah. You never have to have lectures or anything. It's a self-taught class, basically. He won't even tell you what work you have to get done. It's your responsibility to check the website to see where you're at and stuff.
Hmm. And they let you hacksaw the print servers if you're good.
Or if you
sign me up.
To the default passwords.
Well, the list of default passwords, they always come in handy.
Yeah, they do.
I can't tell you how many times I've been at like some client site when they say, I'm trying to get into their Linksys box or their D-Link or whatever their little, you know, cheapo router is, and I say, hey, what's the password for this? And they said, I don't know. And I'm just like, So I'm like, you know, admin password. Admin, all right, there we go.
Oh, I've got a better story than that.
Admin and then null.
Yeah,
What was the Eddie Izzard? And it was like, you know, you're trying to break into the Pentagon in the movies, and you're like, you know, you get the login screen, 50 million possible words, and you just type in Jeff, and you get in. And you're like, oh, well, because the admin is Jeff. He's given a back door. Seriously,
well,
if anyone has a chance to listen to the Eddie Izzard of Just Like About Computers, it's absolutely hilarious.
I ran into a company once where everybody's password was 12345.
Oh, great.
Hey, that's my luggage password.
I know, that's what I said. I said, that's amazing. I've got the same combination on my luggage.
Like some type of combination that I'm idiot.
I tie a piece of rope around a duffel bag.
That works. And what you should do is you should make the sailor's knot rather than the square knot. So if someone removes a knot on your bag, you know, you can tell
someone.
I just
rope around it. I don't tie it or nothing. I'm not that advanced.
He can hack print servers, but he can't tie his own shoes.
Yeah, they're Velcro.
All right.
Definitely Velcro. Definitely Velcro. Not laces. Definitely Velcro.
Dude, Velcro stuff rocked. I remember being like, you know, 10, and like my parents wanted me to tie my shoes, and I'm just like, screw that. I want Velcro. It was just so much easier.
Yeah, Velcro was awesome.
The teacher said, sorry, so-and-so, your son's developmentally disordered, disabled, or whatever it is.
Yeah, these days I just have slip-on shoes, and I skip the whole laces and Velcro thing altogether.
I actually bought a very comfortable pair of shoes. They're tying, but they're just absolutely amazing. I'm not going to plug them on air. Never mind, we're talking about shoes. What the hell's up with this?
I'm actually wearing a pair of boots that are about 10 years old.
Well, I do have my work boots, which are quite literally, like, probably about 10 years old, and basically get put on when it snows out and I need to walk someplace. That's about it. For me, I don't know what I've been doing lately. I've been just doing a lot of work. Work's probably been, you know, been kicking my butt lately, and I've had, like, a couple of weeks ago, I've had, like, all kinds of free time, and I was waiting on other people to do stuff so I could, like, you know, goof off a little and do side projects and, you know, just pick up on my reading and, you know, just do, like, pet projects, which they're nothing that, you know, really helps work besides that I'm learning the language and I can find out how to do all this neat crap. But, yeah, that's gone away now. I'm actually doing real work, and I have actually all these pet projects that I want to do, but I can't anymore, so. Oh, well, this is my life.
Our main topic for the evening.
Yes.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. No, we already wore that joke out. We
get on the
Tiffany,
kids. It's,
Pirate Radio.
What the hell is that?
Yeah, God, I hope
what
you know,
timpani?
Because I sure as hell don't.
Oh, my God. We're talking about pirate radio? Like, the kind of stuff where you're taking over airwaves?
Yarr!
No,
I always thought with pirate radio, I thought you were, like, stealing radios or something. Because pirating MP3s, that means you're stealing music.
I thought it was a radio with wearing an eye patch.
Well, dang it, I guess I can't do this show because these notes in front of me are about how to steal music, so.
Yeah. All right, so...
Anyway.
Like we put in the beginning of the show, the pirate radio, you know, Evil Deshi apparently runs his own pirate radio station. Like, what do you want to? Are you okay with, like, you know, dropping docs here? Like, you know, show?
No problem with it. Local newspapers are doing stories on us now, so I have no problem with the docs of me and the station being out there.
Okay, so it's Wicked Radio, right?
That's right.
KILL Death Valley.
No. Wicked Radio, WIKD.
Yep.
And where in Wisconsin, like southern Wisconsin? I don't assume
we're
you can pick yourself.
It's a little tiny crapshoot town called Edgerton, about 5,000 people. That's how we get away with it for so long. It's just a little tiny place. I've only actually been here for like 2 years. This will be going on the third year, but southern Wisconsin, right near the border of Illinois.
All right. So for those of you, I'm familiar with it, but I'm not sure about how many other people are. What is pirate radio?
Pirate radio is taking over. It's bringing some of our freedoms back to us as general public. And you transmit a signal of whatever you want out into the air on FM or AM or whatever, you know, band you want, and with the sole intent of wanting people to hear it. You know, the general public. The FCC doesn't want that, so that's why it's called pirate radio.
Arr. So it's basically you kind of go, neener, neener, neener at the FCC.
It's like kind of saying, yeah, I'm better than you are, and I can do this on my own.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. Basically, what the major difference between you as a broadcaster and, say, KNX in Los Angeles is that KNX pays about $10,000 for their license.
More than that, probably. It's like $500,000 bare minimum just for deposit.
And how much have you paid for your license there, Deshi?
I've paid absolutely $0 for my license.
Cha-ching. Oh, because you don't have one.
That is correct.
Yes. Okay, so...
It is impossible for us to get a license, actually, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
Oh, that's actually kind of interesting. Okay, so Wicked Radio, you mentioned like 2 years. That's how long you've been around?
Well, that's how long we've been around in the town we're currently in. We've been actually broadcasting on the air since 1989. My dad got me started in this. He originally started it, and that's where we're going from there. In about 1991, I took over control. And ever since then, it's been lots of different names, but for the last 6 years, it's been Wicked Radio. We integrated with the Internet about 3 years ago now, and it's been working out pretty good for us.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, it's like I think we mentioned the website, wickedradio.org.
Yep, that's right.
And you have a stream, correct?
Oh, yeah. There's two streams right now. One's just Wicked Metal, which we're... got votings going, so if you like metal music, get up there and vote. Keep metal on Wicked Radio on our mainstream and on our FM stream. Everything you hear that's on the Internet, on Wicked Radio, on that stream, there's two of them for low bandwidth and high bandwidth. And everything you hear on there is exactly what's on the FM radio here. So sometimes you'll hear static and stuff coming through because the way we have the audio feed set up coming back into the board. So sometimes you're going to hear static, but that's just from like our low pass filters having problems. So nice. I apologize for that.
Oh, we forgive you. And we're actually we're on Wicked Radio right now, correct?
Yep, we are live. I don't know about how many people are listening, you know, out there. I don't have statistics on FM feeds.
Well, yeah, three people are currently listening. Two that are wearing pants.
One is a cow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not wearing one pants. Cow. I never wear pants on Wicked Radio.
Wicked Radio, Pantless Radio. That'd be a pretty good name for a radio station, Pantless Radio.
That sounds hot.
All right.
Radio without pants.
Then you could play Men Without Hats all day, and then it would just complete the circle.
Well, the only time I actually have to get dressed is when I go to college, because other than that, I work out of my house, and I live out of my house, obviously, so I'm always here.
Hmm.
My company
So now, apparently there's some questions about whether or not you actually need a license to broadcast, because there's like all this fun stuff with FCC rules and Part 15, and yeah. Now, would you like to explain to us about Part 15 and all that wonderful, glorious stuff that the FCC doesn't want us to know?
Yeah, no problem. See, the FCC's got this interesting little section in their regulations about FM radiators. It's funny. There's a whole different set of sections if you want to go through single sideband and AM, but we're dealing with FM today. And a lot of people think that just because you build all the stuff yourself, you're totally in the clear, because there is a section, it's like 15.23, about home-built devices and how they're not regulated, but there's still regulations here. And it might be a little easier. I'll kind of skim through the notes here, because otherwise it could take me a day to get through all of this. So it says that although, I'll back up a little bit here, there are a lot of urban myths about Part 15 rules and devices. The first is that their signal levels are very small and is likely that will not cause harmful interference. What they mean is like video game controllers, a television reception that fall under Section 15. So you could even use like your iPod FM transmitter. That's a Section 15 device. Although this is true, in most cases, radiated emission levels in Part 15 were designed to protect one neighbor's television reception from another neighbor's video game. The permitted radiation levels are not enough to always protect sensitive amateur reception. As one intentional radiators and carrier current devices are permitted a field strength of 30 microvolts per meter at 30 meters from the source. That goes into a little bit of some trigonometry here that not everybody's going to know.
So what are we talking about, like microvolts a meter there? I'm not...
Okay, they're saying basically you're allowed 30 microvolts per meter at 30 meters. So when you're at 30 meters, you're averaging 30 microvolts per meter in that distance. And the microvolts is the power that you can run on it. So
if you're talking
microvolts, you're not even running at like a half an amp. You're way down there. That's probably about 200 milliamps, maybe even less than that. You know, that's basically like one of those iPod FM transmitter deals for your car.
So basically, if I set up one of these Part 15 gizmos, like an iPod transmitter, when I get 30 meters, like around my house, you're going to like really start to like fade off and.
Yeah, once you get past that 30 meters, the signal is going to fade and go away.
Okay.
That's what they're saying is a legal Part 15 device. You can build something like that and not have to go get licensed or anything. So you could initially set up a radio station for like pretty much your neighborhood probably. If you had a good antenna up on your house, there's no restrictions about antennas. They just have to be under 200 feet. After that, you have to register with the FAA and the FCC because you got to put a light up on it. So basically, yeah, you could run a legal, legitimate pirate radio station in your neighborhood as long as you don't exceed 30 microvolts a meter and you're okay, which is basically about you could probably run between 2 and 3 watts on FM and you'd be completely legal in like a small range because you're not going to go very far.
Right.
And for comparison, I think some of the early handheld mobile phones are like 3 watts.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good comparison too. Yeah, even mobile phones today, like your 900 megahertz mobile phones, they're really not all that powerful. I mean, they just like to make them seem more powerful. Like, oh, I got a 2.4 gigahertz.
Well, no, but I mean the mobile phones today operate more like at half a watt or 1 watt or something like that, right?
Yeah, they're at a lot more power today than the original ones.
No,
couldn't go more than like maybe, you know, 100 feet from your base.
No, I'm talking about cell phone, mobile phones, not
cell
cordless
phones. Oh, like cordless.
No, I'm talking about mobile phones. I'm talking about,
okay,
you know.
Okay, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, those work off about 3 watts, between 1 and 3 watts. I'm not an expert on cellular technology, but it would probably be around that.
Yeah, I understand that, like, something along the lines of the original car phones are like 5 watts, the handheld models were 3 watts, and now the little tiny digital ones that you get are perhaps 1 to 1.5 watts.
Yeah,
maybe
that could
less.
Be right. I mean, like I said, I'm not any expert with cellular technology.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different type of radio than I'm into.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So basically,
people think that Part 15 is going to save them. Part 15.13 discusses incidental radiators. 15.17, susceptibility to interference infections from authorization of unintentional radiators. Something unintentional would be like your TV. If something was wrong with your TV receiver and for some reason it was radiating off some kind of FM signal, the FCC would have to come and fix that.
All right, and that actually happens a lot because there's apparently a certain model of TV that does break, and it actually transmits on the international VHF distress frequency. It's happened like 2 or 3 times. I remember, like, Off the Hook usually talks about it when it does, but it's quite humorous.
That's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard a little bit about that. I haven't, like, researched that fully. That's a little bit about Section 15. Like, that's the the gist of it. Section 15 is not going to save you. You're still... If you're over a 1 watt, then you are an illegal, unlicensed pirate radio station, which is a felony. It can carry up to a year in jail and an $11,000 fine.
All right.
Minimum. Or both, I think. But nobody's actually ever been put in jail yet in the history of the FCC.
So what do you run at, and what ass raping are you in danger of getting?
45. I'm at 45 watts.
Wow.
And, yeah. We cover about a good 10-mile radius because I don't have a really big, huge antenna that draws a lot of attention to my place. I run a smaller J-pole antenna. I build antennas. If anybody out there wanting to start a pirate radio wants schematics, I can draw them up really easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, 45 watts. We cover the town of Edgerton. There's a few people that claim that they've picked up our signal in, like, surrounding towns, but we're actually boosting up to 300 watts in the coming weeks so that we can cover a couple other bigger cities since there's getting a lot more local support and people on the Internet. I mean, it's really starting to grow on the Internet even more so than it is locally.
Hmm. Sounds interesting.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if you guys got, like, at least 100 people listening to the show live right now on the stream.
We should have them do something to tell us that they're listening.
Yeah, maybe you can get them. Most of them are lurkers and idlers. You guys get way more email than I get. I get like 1 or 2 emails a month. You know, maybe they.
Well,
really
I mean, for those of you listening on the stream, you know, stop by the website www.binrev.com, and we're all on the forums and. Or go to the website, you know, just check us out. Hey, you know, we're a bunch of computer geeks and computer hackers. You know, check us out. We're cool.
All right, I'll even put a link up to you guys up on Wicked Radio site after the show.
Oh, cool. Okay, so if you're over 1 watt, you're illegal, you're going to federal pounding in the ass prison, right or no?
Not really. I mean, there hasn't been a major incident involving pirate radio since 98 in the FCC. Stephen Dunifer, I believe, was the last or the only extreme one.
What happened in 98?
In 98, well, there was just a few raids in 98 that resulted in some big fines that went around. That's just the last time that there's ever been a major fine or anything big involving pirate radio. I mean, stations get shut down all the time. I've been raided about a dozen times since I started this. And it consists of nothing more than the FCC and maybe, just maybe, a U.S. Marshal or a local officer will come with them and they ask to be let in. They don't have a warrant or anything. They don't have jurisdiction over anything. The local cop is just there just in case things get rowdy and stuff. Like, a lot of assault happens when FCC agents show up. Most pirate radio station kids have an attitude problem, and if they just realize how to just let them in anyway. I mean, they're going to go get a warrant. They're going to come back and take your crap. So you might as well just let them in, and if they're really cool about it, they're just going to slap you on the hand and say, all right, turn it off, and then they'll leave, which has happened to me more than several times, where they just tell you, cease and desist, and you'll be okay. I've had a few things confiscated over the years, amplifiers and transmitters, but other than that, I've never received a fine. People really don't complain. I've been told that ham radio operators are the number one reason why I've gotten complaints, because they just think it's, if they had to go through, maybe I see it from their shoes, they had to go through and get licensed so they can operate a ham radio, that maybe I should be licensed, you know, to operate an FM station. That's where we stand on that issue.
Well, actually, I mean, I was just actually ranting about this a couple of days ago on my website, and it was, you know, ham radio and hacking and all their wonderful things. And the problem with ham radio is that they're just a lot of them are just old stogies that, you know, you see the, you know, fat guy with the suspenders and the white beard, and they just complain and they're sticking the bugs and they're old and they just want to watch Matlock and use their ham radio.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm getting licensed for ham on the 25th of this month on my birthday. Because I have actually started talking to a lot of people on the ham locally, and it's kind of cool that we can actually. Did you know you can send, you can use internet over ham radio?
Oh yes, I've been doing it for years.
With packet radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. Now nobody's got a gateway repeater up around here, but I can afford to set one close up, and I think it'd be a really cool idea, a project for us to set up as an internet gateway repeater. Anyway, that's off on another subject.
Yes, we'll get you on ham radio over ham radio episode 2 or something. Okay, so you're running at 45 watts, or you might get raided. So I mean, is that it? I mean, basically, I can go and make my own little radio station up and say 45 watts and just hope for the best.
Yeah, basically that's all you got to do. Is what the secret is to find a way to get involved with your community. I mean, if your whole goal is to go out there just so you can say fuck on the radio, on air and not care, you're going to get shut down, like, really quick. You know, and build everything right. It's not that hard, actually, to sit down and really build one of these things. You know, but if you want to go out there and get music out there, maybe independent artists, and you don't want to pay RIA royalties, find people that are unsigned. Find even labels. I've got a couple of labels now for metal music that have agreed to let me use any of their artists royalty-free on my station for my metal stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of stations out there. I mean, we called up a couple stations just yesterday or over Saturday on my show and asking them what they thought about pirate radio, and the majority said they think that there should be more of us out there.
Personally, I mean, even though I'm a ham radio operator, I'm not one of those stick-in-the-muds like them. I believe that, you know, there should be more free radio. I think, you know, if you want to actually sit down, set up your little transmitter, and broadcast, you should be able to. I think it's just one of those things. As long as you're not messing with anybody, like for example, if you're decided to pick up a frequency that was already in use, no, you can't do that. Sorry, you lose. But at the same point,
yeah, that's different. Doing that, people that do that, they deserve to get shut down and deserve to have a book thrown at them for that. I would get mad.
Yeah.
And it's funny you bring that up. That's actually happened to me. I used to be on 90.5 until recently, for many, many years. For about 7 years, I was on 90.5. And a Christian radio station decided to use that frequency, and they moved into the area. And they're all licensed. Well, they found out my contact information from listening to my show, because it's all automated at night when I'm asleep. And they gave me a call and let me know, hey, we're in the area, we use this, we understand your pirate radio, but could you let us have our frequency? And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem, you know. I let them have it, and I switched over to 88.9, and they never filed a complaint with the FCC against me.
Wow, see, Christians are cool, folks.
Some of them.
Some of them.
Not my parents. I live with my parents right now, and they've been having to put up with this. The media, the newspapers and TV crews have been here, because we won't let anybody down in to see our studio. That's one of our big things. There's not very many pictures on the web. There's a few of me standing by, like, the transmitters and all that stuff, but we don't like people to get an idea of how we run things, because we just integrated. We write custom software for everything. And, yeah, we're just going to keep that under wraps.
All right. Okay. Well, that's pretty interesting, I got to say. I mean, I had no idea that. There was actually just around in my neighborhood in central Massachusetts, not central Massachusetts, in eastern Massachusetts, just outside the Boston area to this house, there was a bust of somebody who decided to run an illegal transmitter, and he got fined like $10,000. And I'm not sure what the story is, to be honest with you. I just saw the notice of apparent liability and the got forwarded to one of my scanner lists, but I was like, ooh, crap, I guess they do enforce those still. But at the same point, you're coming over here and saying, yeah, you're coming over here and saying, no, they don't. They're rather cool about it. So I guess it depends on what part of the country you're in, too, I would assume.
Yeah, it does. The West Coast is the biggest spot where you're going to, if you want to find pirate radio, I mean, if you're living in Nebraska, chances are you're not going to find a pirate station. That's cool. But if you're living on the West Coast, you got a really good chance of finding a decent station out there with either talk radio or really good music that's alternative. That's not even the music. Sometimes you just want to hear something different on the radio or a different radio host, you know.
Like Bin Rev Radio. Actually, I mean, and in New York, apparently, there's quite a few of them. I remember, talked about Off the Hook again, Bernie S., everyone's favorite person in the whole wide world, he's into radio, and he found out that there was a pirate radio station. So him and his friend got into their car, and they took their little radio equipment, and they tracked it down to where it was coming from, and they just paid a visit to the guys. And actually, the humorous part was... he was wearing his 2600 shirt with, like, the eagle on it, and it looks like a federal government shirt. And all of the radio station guys, they didn't really speak English, the first language. They all thought he was a Fed. So they let him in, and they were, like, all scared with him. And they're like, no, no, we're cool. We just wanted to see your setup.
That is great.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so
building these things is a little bit more simple than people might think. Now, if you want to talk about getting nitty-gritty, you're going to be – that's like building your own transmitter. Don't even try that. If it's your first time into radio, building the whole thing, the circuit itself, is easy, but you have to build what's called an air induction coil, and that is like a mathematical science. If you have it off by a millimeter, you could really do some damage to your hardware. Best bet is to go to freeradio.org and order one of their transmitter kits on there. I mean, you could be up and running off of one little trip to that website in no time. Build yourself your own antenna, and you'll be off and running. And it's not that hard to integrate with if you want to have an internet stream side of it, too. I mean, all you got to do is just have a couple of PCs. We have three PCs that control everything about the radio station because some of it controls our hardware. Not like
really?
Separate. Yeah, we have a PC that controls. I have my transmitter's a PCI card, actually, that plugs into my computer. So one of my whole servers is nothing but that transmitter, and that's all that holds. And then another server is just 500 gigs of MP3s, which is like all the talk radio and stuff like that.
Hmm.
And then another server controls the website, which has an integrated request engine that we've got. And people can, like, select talk shows and whatever they want, you know, and just click on it and boom, it's the next in queue. You know, things like that. It's kind of neat stuff. See, the FM listeners don't get the benefit on some of the cool things. But we actually do have a couple of bars in the area that listen to our FM over their jukebox at certain times of night.
That's interesting.
We've had legitimate sponsors in the past, Culver's Restaurants. Has paid us to put commercials up for them. and this local hardware store gave us a little bit of dough to put up a couple commercials for them.
Hmm.
So it's all about how you play your cards. If you can do it with some good professionalism, like Bin Rev Radio, then you might be lucky.
We're not professional. Who are you talking about?
Professional?
A lot better than some of the other shows I've heard out there. You guys could be like Infonomicon.
Hey, at least people... hey, don't we? At least Infonomicon.
I only said that because Droops is probably listening, so...
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say...
I'm cool with Droops. It's all good.
All right. Yeah. But no, I mean, we talk into telephones. It's not that professional.
Hey, that's how I do my radio shows. I use a regular POTS line that's bridged into a voice bridge, or I use Skype, or I use Stanaphone. I've used all kinds of things to get guests and stuff on my show. If there's a way I will get a guest on my show, like Jason Scott should be on next weekend, that's going to be a fun show.
Cool.
So anyway, back to radio here. There's all kinds of different frequencies, and I got a few of them here I marked down that you're going to want to be aware of. And this might come in interesting if you have a scanner. You can program, I think, all of these in. Well, you're going to need a really nice scanner for some of these other ones. But all these other ones here at the beginning here, I'll just kind of go through a few. The band 160 to 190 kilohertz is hobbyist. 140 to 150 is ham radio. Between 140 and 160, and sometimes 174. I can broadcast up into 174. That's all ham radio. 450 to 470 is 70 centimeter ham radio. And then you get into, like, if you want to listen to a baby monitor or walkie-talkies, that's 26 to 27.28 megahertz. Alarm systems are 40.66 to 40.70 megahertz. Cordless phones run between 43.71 to 50 megahertz. And also you can get walkie-talkies and baby monitors in that range, too, because those are old.
Yeah, you'll find a lot of the older walkie-talkies and baby monitors in that frequency range.
God,
the others are...
I was going to say, does anybody still even use cordless phones that operate in that 43 to 50 megahertz band?
One of my neighbors does.
Yeah, they still do. It's very rare.
It's very rare.
I'll keep going.
Too, because this is a very upper-class neighborhood. You'd think they could afford a better phone than that.
Guess not.
Let's see here. Biomedical telemetry on unused TVs. A lot of people don't know about this. Is 174 to 216 megahertz, which is... information, biomedical information that's sent through television. It's kind of strange.
That sounds interesting.
Through unused stations that aren't in use. See, people don't care about measurement systems. There's automatic vehicle identification systems, otherwise known as AVIS. I don't know if you guys have ever done a show about that or not.
Can't say that I have.
It's toll systems use this stuff.
Oh, yes, okay. Speed pass on the left side.
RFID, and that runs between 2.9 gigahertz and 3.6 gigahertz.
All
AVIS. And you can listen in if you got a good scanner, and you can actually hear the data passing through the trunk line. And 10 gigahertz. Now, the website I got my information from only says multiple Part 15 uses, but it's not actually Part 15. 10 gigahertz, you'll read a lot of information about that. That's microwave band, and that's for law enforcement. So if you listen to that, that's where how the law enforcement Wi-Fi works between patrol car and their base and from car to car. It's in the 10 gigahertz band, between 10 and 10.5. I know people were into Haxer radio, and we did an episode about Wi-Fi.
Well, you're going to need a pretty good scanner to pick that up regardless.
Yeah. Well, not really. You can get some scanners. Radio Shack has a couple models, I think, that go up to 20 gigahertz, but you're going to be shelling out some dough for that.
All right.
I've got some new ones. Maybe, I guess, if people go to Wicked Radio and over to our zine, I'm going to be posting a bunch of frequencies, and we've got the ones, I just didn't put them on this list, of the International Space Station, and you can actually broadcast, and you don't need a license because it's out in outer space, and you can transmit on ham radio. I'll get the exact frequency and post it, and you can talk to it, the International Space Station, between 4 and 6 minutes as they pass overhead. After about that, it's about the only time you have, and then it's just out of range.
Yeah, and then we talked about, it's basically, for those of you paying attention a couple weeks ago, when I was talking about SuitSat and all that stuff, that's basically the same concept, except it's an actual space station rather than a spacesuit.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had a couple of websites here.
Oh, yeah.
We have the Association of Clandestine Enthusiasts. Are you a clandestine radio station?
Yes, I am. Clandestine means anything that's like underground and like illicit, basically.
I don't know. I always thought the clandestine stations were like, you know, I mean, like back in like the late 80s, early 90s, when you had all these like, you know, communist
like
republic
Radio
out there.
Stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff too, yeah. Or like B93 FM in Croatia.
We started on single sideband on shortwave radio. So that's about how old we are.
I remember listening to that. I only actually picked up one pirate radio station for like a half hour, and I was just absolutely thrilled. And they sent me a little QSL card. And for those of you who don't know what a QSL card is, pay attention to our ham radio episode. And I still have it to this day. Actually, I have my QSL card from K2000 Radio.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
what is the distance on that?
You didn't, because it was the sidebands, you never really knew where they were. I mean, I think the mail drop was actually in Massachusetts, but you don't know where the mail drop actually is going to.
That's strange. Yeah, that's cool when you get a QSL like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for more information on ACE, you can go to fm.net/ACE, A-C-E. And then we have the Free Radio Network. And you can go to frn.net. The Free Radio Network is a network of, it's got like a huge database listing of pirate stations and mostly links to other pirate radio or amateur radio organizations. And if you want to know more about legal amateur radio, which I am also into, I'm not just into stealing the regular airwaves, go to arrl.org, which is the amateur radio homepage. They got some neat practice tests you can take on QRZ.com and find out if you got what it takes to be a licensed amateur radio operator.
Hmm. Well, also, I mean, just to toss this out here, I mean, you didn't really mention it at all, and I'm not 100% sure what exactly the requirements are, but there's also, you know, legal radio stations. There's a low power FM broadcast, which is a relatively new thing. That's gone now?
Yeah, that's why I didn't really bring it up too much. It's Powell decided, no, we're not going to license anymore. So if you were one of the lucky ones that got in and got licensed under 100 watts for LPFM, Godspeed to you. You are the lucky bastards. I got cut off. That's why I said we can never be legally registered. Licensed unless we were above 100 watts, and then we'd need a commercial radio station license, which would run us $500,000 as a deposit down for radio broadcast engineers, and then about another $20,000 to $20,000 in fee applications and all that stuff, and then about maybe $250,000 for all the required hardware you would need.
Yeah.
They have it rigged up so that you got to be a corporate entity if you want to have a legitimate station, or else you're going to need one hell of a huge community to sponsor you.
Well, I got to say, well, snap, I was unaware of that. I thought they were still doing that.
Yeah,
crap.
There is LPFM that's available, I think, on between 100 and 350 for watts that might be still available, but I'm not sure on that. Check FCC.gov has a whole bunch of new information that just came up on that within the last week or so.
Hmm. Well, if nothing else, we go with Storm KNX. Yes. We're going to set up a pirate radio station and say, neener, 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 screw you. All right, so...
for our pirate radio station, if anybody's interested in setting one up. We've got a guy out
that'd be pretty
in Moore County, Wisconsin. and he relays us on FM via our stream, and he just hooks his stream up into his FM transmitter and relays us up there to all the lovely people camping up in Door County.
Well, look at that. We have the Wicked FM radio network.
Hey, you never
know. How does it feel to be a conglomerate, eh?
It feels good.
All right. Okay, so it's wickedradio.org, right?
Yep, that's the website.
That's the radio website, and we're going to have to rush through the announcements. Sure, wickedradio Gmail?
Yep, that's right.
All right. Yeah, we have 5 minutes. All right, so... Yep, well, that's I got to say, this really opened my eyes. I did not know this.
Very
I didn't know any of both of you.
I'd like to say
that actually...
the show was brought to you by Budweiser.
Screw that. This show isn't sponsored by Budweiser. I want good beer, damn it.
Yeah, not this weak American
this
stuff beginning with B.
I live in. This is good beer here. This is liquid beer.
Oh, man, no, seriously. This show is brought to you... No, this show is brought to you by Dogfish Head Ale. There we go.
Dude, like, I probably couldn't even find that. If I went to the liquor store here in this backwoods town, the guy would be like, let me go get a dog.
Well, seriously, when you'll hopefully be at Hope, and I'll take you out for a beer.
Okay, well, I'll do that.
A good beer.
I'm a connoisseur of fine beer.
All right, my kind of guy. Anyway, not to cut you off, we got to rush through the announcements here.
You guys got announcements to do. Do them.
Announcements. Interzone 5 is this weekend? Yes, it is. That's www.interzone.com, and the Interzone is a zero. So, Stank Dog's going to be there giving a speech. Mrs. Droops's husband is going to be there along with Mrs. Droops. Locust X, I believe Zygmunt's actually going to be there too. So go, you know, meet people, have fun. It's the website, and I didn't copy and paste where it is. It's going to be the Magnolia Hotel and wherever it is. Go to the website, interzone.com, where the O is a zero. Site of the week is tinyurl.com/papaalpha504. This is actually pretty interesting. This was still going up until about 15 minutes before the show start. A school in Canada launched a weather balloon and tracked it via GPS and amateur radio, and that website is the plot of it going from about, I think it was 9 a.m. this morning Eastern, till about 9:15 p.m. in Eastern time. And basically it went from Midwest Canada over Ohio and, you know, went all the way down, and it crashed in Virginia. Or that's the last known whereabouts of it. It was pretty cool. It was very interesting to watch it. And I got to say... Yeah, hot damn, I want to do one of these damn things. Shouts.
SpinRev balloon.
Yeah, there we go. Put a little LED stand on sign of it and go take advertising revenue away from Goodyear. Deshi, do you have shouts?
To my guy Hag listening in, and to all the Hack the Site people in the BinRev community. That's about it.
All right, Shroom, do you have shouts?
Shout to Lance James. Recovering my ass.
James, bitch.
I'll send shouts out to Deshi's friend in the background, who was very noisy at the beginning but very quiet when the show actually started. So thank you for that.
He's in another room. I went out into my living room and I chilled. I printed out the notes.
Oh, that's very nice. Our closing music tonight is the Gran Turismo remix "Stupid Damn Vehicle" by. ILP0, pardon me. I think that's it, isn't it?
Farewell.
Yeah, that's it.
And shout to you, Deshi, for coming on, and really, yeah, it was a pretty good topic. We've had, like, you know, we're due for a clunker soon, because we had, like, two or three solid shows.
Yeah, shouts to our bovine listeners.
Shouts to our bovine listeners in Wisconsin.
Mm.
Boo.
Yeah, move back.
All right, so as always, did I say email? Email is radio@binrev.com. It hasn't changed since the show started. If you don't remember it now, you know, whatever. Closing music tonight. Terry did that one. See you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.